So with the raga and the tala explanation done, it's time to move on to the aspect of bhava. And now we have Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's university, someone who had the privilege to sing in the divine physical presence for the 5 years during his student days in Prashantinilam and Vrindavan, and now sings regularly at Bhagwan's abode in Chennai, Sundaram. So let's hear his reflections.
Dear Swami, loving pranams at your lotus feet. By Swami's grace, I have received yet another opportunity to ruminate on a bhajan sung in his praise, this time describing him as Sai Krishna. Krishna, the Giridhari, the one who lifted the mountain. Krishna, the Radha Lola. Krishna, the Gopala. Radha represents the gopis and the Gopalas. You know, the cowherds, and the cowherd is the Vrindavan. And the go or the cow represents all the cows of Vrindavan. So collectively, they actually refer to everybody who was there in Vrindavan, the companions of Krishna in Vrindavan. And you have Krishna who actually lifted the mountain to protect, to offer protection, to save, to remove the troubles of the dwellers of Vrindavan. That's one aspect of Krishna. But the other aspect of Krishna is Krishna, the one who is Shama, the one who is dark in color, the one who has the complexion of the rain clouds. Now these are two aspects of Krishna which I hope to ruminate on when I talk about this particular bhajan. First, let's talk about the Krishna who is the Giridhari, the one who lifted the mountain to remove the troubles of the gopis, the gopalas and the goes, the cowherds, the cowherdesses and the cattle, who are actually part of Vrindavan, who were his companions in Vrindavan. Now when I talk about this, my mind goes to a very enchanting story which Bhagwan narrated to us. You know, in those days in Vrindavan, I believe that the gopis and the gopalas, in fact not the gopalas, the gopis, the cowherdesses, would actually go to the Yamuna to fetch water for their household requirements. And naturally in those days, they would carry water in earthen pots. Now they would go and fetch water from the river, and then, you know, naturally they had multiple pots. You need water for the entire day. So they would have to place these pots onto the head. Essentially they would load it onto their head. And that's not an easy task, especially if you've got multiple pots. So you know, it would really help if somebody was there to place these pots on your head, to load these pots onto your head. So the poor gopis would look around for help, and generally the entire Yamuna banks would be deserted, but for one person there, and that would be Krishna. So you'd find Krishna there, and Krishna would be merrily playing on his flute, and they would actually look at Krishna and say, Krishna, can you please help us load the pot onto our head? And Bhagavan says that at that point of time, Krishna would play out his enchanting smile and shake his head saying, no, I will not. And as he shook his head, you know, those beautiful, lovely locks of hair which he has on his head would also shake. And he would say, no, with an enchanting smile. Now, naturally, the gopis are left without help, so they would have to fend for themselves. So what they would do is they would, with a lot of trouble, lift the pot and place it on their head. And they would, you know, go all the way home. Now what happens when they reach home? When they reach home, they would find Krishna standing there already. And what would Krishna do? Even without the requesting for it, they would, you know, Krishna would run forward and then take the pot off their head and unload the pot off their head. So remember, Krishna never would, you know, despite their asking, would not load the pot onto their head. But unasked, he would take upon himself the task of unloading the pot from the head of the gopis. Now this was a regular procedure. This happened every day. And one day, one of the gopis actually asked Krishna, said, Krishna, what is this strange behavior? We ask you every day for help. We ask you to load these pots onto our head, but you don't. But even when we don't even ask, voluntarily, every day you appear before a house and you unload the pot of her head. So why do you do this, Krishna? What's the meaning of this strange behavior? And then Bhagavan says, Krishna smiled at the gopis and said, O gopis, please understand, I do not wish to load the head of my devotees. I will never add a load onto the head of my devotee, but I am ever eager to remove the weight, remove the load from atop the head of my devotee. What a beautiful message. So when you talk of Krishna the Giridhari, the one who lifts the mountain, you know, I'm reminded of Krishna who lifted the pot, you know, from the head of the gopi. Because he was ever eager to do that, and he would do that to alleviate suffering. He would do that to remove sorrow. He would do that to offer protection. Krishna the Giridhari, who did that to protect his companions, to remove the sorrow of his companions, to wipe away the tears of his companions of Vrindavan, the gopis, the gopikas, and the cows of Vrindavan, the cattle of Vrindavan. Now that's one beautiful aspect of Krishna. Let's look at the other aspect of Krishna. Krishna, the one who is Shyama. You know, Shyama is the one who is dark in color. The one who is dark in color is Shyama. Now why is Krishna dark in color? That's a very interesting thought. There are various theories of why Krishna is dark in color. In fact, they say that he was the color of the rain clouds. One explanation which comes to mind, and if I remember correctly, this was an explanation which was given by the great saint Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. He said that, see, when you look at the ocean or the sea from far away, from far, far, far away, or water from far away, it is colorless. But as you approach it, when you get close to it, when you look at it from far away, it has the appearance of a blue color, but when you actually get close to it, it is colorless. Okay, so God has got two aspects. Now, God has got the formless, the nirguna aspect, and God has got the saguna aspect, you know, the one with gunas, and the one where he is, you know, beyond the gunas, but is yet the basis of the gunas, the saguna and the nirguna. Now, when you look at it from far away, you see him as dark. You know, you see him as this darkish blue color, which is what Krishna's complexion was, the Shyama Varna. Just like the sea appears blue when you see from far away. You know, when you get close to him, of course, you don't see it, you see just the nirguna aspect. But you know, it's very beautiful to see him from far away, because then you get to see his beautiful dark colored form. Krishna, the one who is dark in color. The one who is the color of the rain clouds. You know what the rain clouds do? The rain clouds rain, and that's why they're called rain clouds, as we know. Now, when you talk of Krishna as the rain clouds, my mind goes to a beautiful poem, which is in my own native language, you know, my native language in the part of India I come from. Now, in this poem, the poet actually says, and this poem is actually addressed to the dark rain clouds. The poet says, O dark rain cloud, when you appear upon the sky, your dark color reminds me of my dark colored complexion, my dark colored Lord, my dark complexion Lord, Krishna, who is dark in color. So, O rain cloud, when I see you in the sky, your color reminds me of my own Lord Krishna, who is dark in color. And when I am reminded of my Lord Krishna, who is dark in color, my heart fills with pain. My heart fills with pain caused by the pangs of separation from him. My heart fills with pain because I am not able to see my dark colored beautiful Lord. But your color reminds me of my dark colored Lord. And when I see you, I am reminded of my Lord. And when I am reminded of my Lord, my heart fills with pain caused by the pangs of separation from him. And those pangs of separation lead my eyes to well up with tears, just like the Yamuna wells up with water. Now that's what comes to mind when you talk of, you know, Krishna as Shyama. Isn't it interesting? On one side you have Krishna, who removes tears, who removes trouble, who removes sorrows, who wipes away tears. On the other side, you have Krishna, who causes tears. Interesting dichotomy, and that's what, you know, makes Swami or Sai Krishna an enigma. You know, this beautiful dichotomy that he represents. Again, it was, I think, Sri Ramakrishna, when he visited Vrindavan, he said, O Krishna, The sun still sets. The Yamuna still flows. The cattle still come back home. And they are herded by the Gopalas, the cowherds. Even now in Vrindavan, O Krishna, I see the Yamuna. I see the cattle. I see the sun setting. I see all of this even now, O Krishna. The trees are still there, O Krishna. And if one listens to carefully Krishna, we can still hear the sound of the flute. I see the Yamuna. I see the cattle. I see all of this. But O Krishna, only you are missing. And that thought caused Sri Ramakrishna to go into Bhava Samadhi. In fact, his eyes would well up with tears caused by the pangs of separation. I think we can also talk about a very similar story. When we talk of Parthi, we can say, O Krishna, O Swami, the cycle with all is still there. The Vedam is still chanted. Everything in Parthi is exactly the same. The floral decoration is still there. The bhajan still happen. The program still happen. And you also are there, O Swami. You also are verily there. You are there. The place is so full of you. You are there everywhere. But my poor eyes are not able to see you. And that causes our eyes to well up with tears. Krishna, the Giridhari, who removes tears. And Krishna, the Shyamavarna, who causes tears. What a beautiful dichotomy. And what a beautiful enigma that our Sai Krishna is. And that's what, you know, these are these two aspects which we get to examine through this beautiful, beautiful bhajan. And to end this discussion, you know, in this bhajan, here Krishna is talked about as the Lord of the Gopis, the Gods and the Gopalas. Essentially, he is not just the Lord. In fact, he is the companion. Or rather, we are his companion. There are various ways of associating with the Lord, linking with the Lord. And I think one beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way to think of our association with the Lord is to think of ourselves as the companion of the Lord. To think of the Lord as our companion and to think of ourselves as the companion of the Lord. In a way, I think we are all eternal companions of our Lord. And our prayer to our Lord could be this. We could say, Swami, whenever you come, Swami, let it happen that we are always your companions, we are always your playmates. Moksha doesn't really matter to us, Swami, because who wants moksha? We want to be born again and again and again and again and again. Each time you come, Swami, because may we always remember, may we always aspire to become your companions, the companions of the eternal Lord, and may we become your eternal companions. Jai Sai Ram.